You'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to talk about the power of the resurrection. And today we celebrate the most amazing day there is and the most pivoting and the most transforming day in history. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ from not only death, but also the grave. And the amazing thing is while Jesus was living, he told his disciples this was going to happen. That he was going to die, he was going to be buried, and on the third day he was going to raise again. So this isn't a, you know, like nowadays you hear people thinking that, well, Jesus really didn't know what he was doing. Yes, he did. Amen. And so this morning I want to share with you about the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead and from the grave. And as believers, one of our focuses is on the cross of Jesus Christ, and it's a symbol of our Christian faith. We wear it around on necklaces, and we have all kinds of things done with it. And it's the central part of the gospel. But I want to remind you that the cross is necessary because without the cross, without death, there is no resurrection. And I say that because there's a great deal of believers who want to walk in the power of the resurrection, but they don't want to die. They don't want to die to themselves. They don't want to die to their wills. They don't want to die to being directed by their emotions and by their passions of the flesh. They don't want to have to die to sin. So I just want to remind you, without a death, there is no power of a resurrection life in our lives. And it's as if we want to bypass that part of the gospel, that part of the reality of the gospel, that we can have the resurrection power without dying. So that brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 1 and go through this for a while. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Here it is. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. And so he's saying this is the first importance, this is the most important. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. And so the gospel is really that simple and that clear. And let me just give you those 4 points. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried. Number 3, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture. And that He appeared to others. You see, this isn't a fake story. This isn't a made-up thing. You can find the fake stuff on CNN and all that. But this is the real thing. He died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. And He appeared. And the cross has meaning. It's not just a brutal, unfortunate death. It has spiritual significance. And Christ died for our sins. He paid a debt. The debt we owed, the debt we could not in any way pay ourselves. Then Christ was buried for 3 days, but Sunday came. Amen. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And so what I want us to see is that there is power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that power gives us hope. And if you haven't figured it out, We need hope in this world more than ever before. We need hope. There are people who are hopeless, and they need to be able to find that hope. And the awesome thing is this hope is within every believer. It's just a matter if we will experience it or walk in it or not. We decide how much of this hope we will walk in. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the power of the resurrection life in us, and that brings us hope. And this hope means that things can change with God. His power working in us. Have you ever tried to stop doing something and you've given it your best shot and you realize you just can't do it? You just can't beat it. Well, you know what? As believers, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we have that resurrection power. We can change. We don't have to stay the same. I just want to encourage you that whatever we are facing, whatever you are facing, no matter how difficult it is, it can change. It means with this hope and this power, this resurrection life in us, we don't have to stay the same. Aren't you glad about that? Whew. I'm glad I'm not who I used to be. Hallelujah. And I know y'all are too. Amen. And I'm looking forward to more of what He has for me. I just want to encourage you that no matter how hard the situation is before you right now, you can make it through. Things can become better for you. But we have to stay at it. We have to keep trusting God. And that brings us to Ephesians chapter 1. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures because of the words that Paul uses to describe the power of the resurrection. And so I want to share that with you this morning. I've shared it before, but I just want to share it with you this morning. Because if this doesn't give you hope, then I don't know what will. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 15. Ephesians 1:15, and he says this: "For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." So this is his prayer. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." So it's not that we just have revelation and knowledge, but we have it in Christ. Of Christ. Verse 18, "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you." You see, this is what I love about God. He's a God of hope, but He wants His children full of hope as well. And so He gives us that ability as we place our faith in Jesus Christ. He gives us that ability to hope. He said, that our hearts would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all and all. So this is the prayer that Paul prays for the church. And matter of fact, he prayed it for us as well. And matter of fact, I want to encourage you. Write it down. Pray it for your life as well. Pray this prayer for yourself. And so Paul wants our eyes to be enlightened to some things. And so, first of all, he says, hope to the hope that is in Christ. And that word hope means this. It means expectation, confident hope, confident expectation of good. Now, how many of us get up in the morning and that's what we're thinking? Do we have this confident expectation that something good is going to happen in our life? Or is it, oh Lord, it's morning. I got to face another day. But this hope is different than what we think of hope, because this hope means confident expectation in the person we can have hope in. And that person for us is Jesus Christ. And so there's a hope that we can have that nobody can take away from us, because it's in the person of Jesus Christ. But what I love about this is Paul says that we have this hope, and then he says, to which we have been, that God has called you to. Whew. So there's a calling on your life, and it's a calling of hope, that we are to be a people of hope. And that word called means this, means a call, as in an invitation to a banquet. A banquet of hope. Woo! Isn't that awesome? This word called means an invitation to the kingdom of God and all its privileges. The divine call by which Christians are introduced into the privileges of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This hope that he's speaking of, that we're called to, can I tell you, that's our destiny. That's our future. Remember back in Jeremiah, we looked at that not too long ago. He says, I have a plan and a hope for you. And it's plans that are good. And he says that while they're in exile, while they're suffering. Because he wanted to remind them, wait a minute, good's coming. Keep your hope up. Hallelujah. We were made for this. We were made to be a people of hope. God has called us to a hope, but he's also called us to know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And he has called us to know the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. And, you know, sometimes we just read over these things and it's so quick. But, I mean, have you ever thought of immeasurable greatness? I mean, you know, like I would be satisfied with greatness. You know, if God wants to be great to me, I would take it. But he doesn't say that. He's talking about the immeasurable greatness, which means you can't measure how great God wants to be to you. I said, okay, I'll quit trying to measure. I'll just accept it. I'll just rejoice in it. I'll just walk in it. Whew. All right. Let me read some verses again real quick. Starting in verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And then he goes on. But I want to look at these. There's four words in here that Paul speaks of about the power that was used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And so he wants us to know that. And this power not only raised Jesus from the grave, but seated Christ at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and everything else. But before we look at these four words that Paul describes concerning the power of being raised, I want to talk about the word raised for a moment. The word raised is ergrio, and it means to rouse from sleep, death, or disease. To raise from obscurity, to raise from ruins. Am I talking about anybody yet? You know, how many times have we thought of ourselves that we're not worth anything? We're just obscure. Or we think about all the things that we've done in our lives and how much we've ruined our lives. And yet, God has the power to raise us up from that. If you've thought that your life is worthless or useless or just no good at all, may you find the hope that God has for you this morning. And may you know that it's never too late with God to find a better life. The first word that we encounter is power. Power. And he wants us to know this power. That word power is the word dunamis in the Greek. It's the word that we get for dynamite. And it means this: miraculous power and force. It means force, power, ability, and strength. God's almighty energy. That's just in this word. Let me go back to verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe? You know, when we think of dynamite, we're just thinking of how it blows up things and how it destroys things. And God says that He'll take our life and He'll take that power and He'll change our life. He's not looking to destroy you. What he's after in that word power is to realize and to understand the energy, the force, the might, the strength that God has to change our lives if we will give ourselves to Him. That's so amazing to me. And then he says, according to the working of His great might. These are two words for power, great and might. The first word, great, is kratos. And it means vigor, dominion, might, or mightily, power, or strength. The word might means this. It's the Greek word ischis. And it means forcefulness. Might. Strength. To have strength. This is what God did in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the grave. When He raised Him from death and seated Him. He used His might to be able to do that. His power. His great might to do that. Isn't that awesome? And I just think, if He did that for Jesus, what will He do for us? Because Paul says that he wants us to know this so that we understand, so that we can know that our hearts would be enlightened to the power that God has, that we don't have to stay the same, that you might be fighting something, but that doesn't mean that you have to lose that battle. You can win it. God has this, and He's used all of this in Christ, and now this power is in us. And I'll share that in just a minute. God is so good. Verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, and that's what we've just looked at. Verse 20. That He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him, and we won't go. So you have the immeasurable greatness of His power, we have His great might, and now we have this word that He worked in Christ when He raised Him. And that word "work" is the Greek word for energeo. It's the word we get for energy. And it means to be active. To be active, efficient, empower. Oh my. God used all of those to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And He says all of that is available to you now, towards us who believe. There is no higher name, there is no higher power than the name of Jesus. If God used all of that power to raise and seat Jesus, and He is successful in doing that, think what He can do for our lives. So many times I think that we don't come to God because we think we are just too far gone. We've been too bad that He, even God, can't do anything with us. We think that we've made such a mess of our life that there's no way that God can bring anything good out. But I'm here to tell you this morning that's simply not true. And it's a lie from the enemy to keep you from the call, the invitation, the destiny that God has for you and for every believer. No wonder the enemy doesn't want us to figure all this out. You know, it doesn't matter how much heartache we have faced or are facing now, God has the power to raise us above it all. And God is working everywhere with this power, even when we don't see it. Even when we don't see it. You know, some of us, we tell God, well, God, if I see it, I'll believe it. And God doesn't operate like that. He says, you believe it and you'll see it. Because the Scripture says that He's working all things out for our good, for those that love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. Well, if He's working all things out for our good and it's not looking good, then that means He's working behind the scenes. Just because it may not be going well for you doesn't mean that He's not working. I have, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I have read this scripture, I can't tell you how many times. And it's a blessing. But then I was going through all of this, and then this scripture came to my thought. And so I want to bring it to you. It's real short and easy. Philippians 4:13. Most of it you know it. And it just simply says this: I can do all things through Christ Who strengthens me? Now, that doesn't mean that we can do all things. Okay? All right? But it means that whatever we are facing with, whatever life has dealt us, whatever struggles we have, we can overcome it through Christ who strengthens us. You know, I don't want to be a doctor. Okay? I will never, ever plan to be a doctor. But I'm grateful for those who have become doctors. I am grateful that they were able to do it. We've had so many nurses come through here. We had Alicia in our own home. I know what nurses have to go through to become a nurse. And I am glad that they are nurses, but I don't ever want to be a nurse. The struggles that they had to go through, and yet you know that they had to understand this scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. This is Philippians 4:13 out of the Amplified. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. Woo! I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Isn't that awesome? So I'm here to tell you this morning that because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is hope for our lives. It doesn't matter what we're facing. It doesn't matter what other people have said about you, how they have written you off and said, you're never going to make it, you're never going to matter, you're not that great at anything. Great, but that's not what my Heavenly Father said. You can think all you want about me, but I'm going to think what He thinks about me. And He thinks I can do it. He thinks I can overcome this. Now, can I introduce you to the power of the resurrection? His name is God, the Holy Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation, He comes to live in you. And when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, all of what He did to raise Jesus up from the grave and to seat Him in the heavenly places far above all rule and dominion and power and authority and giving Him the name that is above every name, that power is in each and every one of us. And because of that, I want to tell you, we can have hope. It doesn't matter what you're facing. You may have a horrible marriage right now. I can tell you something. If you let God in, He can change it. You may have faced all kind of disasters this year. I want to tell you something. God will be with you. And not only will He be with you, He'll be in you. And He'll help lead you and guide you. And so we need to be a people of hope. You know, so many times we talk about Jesus and the resurrection, but I'm here to tell you it's the Holy Spirit who raised Him. And I want to tell you this, and I tried to fit it in, but I don't have time, but you can go back and search it yourself. In every gospel, it is mentioned, and in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said it Himself. He said, I have come to baptize you, but there is one coming after me who will baptize you with fire. And I'm telling you, He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And so not only did Jesus come to bring salvation for us, but He also came to release the Holy Spirit in us. And that's the hope that we need to walk around with. That's the joy that we need to have. And so I want to tell you this, that He's that miraculous energy. He's that miraculous power to change our lives. And it starts from the inside and it works its way out. And there's some cooperation that we have to do with Him. But if we will do it, He will take you to places you never even dreamed of. He will do things in you that you never even thought possible. And may I remind you that the Holy Spirit is not afraid of our past. Whew. He's not afraid of our past failures. He's not afraid of our past sins. He's not afraid of our current sins. Whew. He's not afraid of the wrong decisions that we have made time after time after time. He's not afraid of our past or our present heartaches that we are facing right now, or our present difficulty. He's not afraid of them. If He can raise Jesus Christ from the grave, seat Him in the heavenly places, there's nothing that He's afraid of in our lives. And so we need to be a people of hope. And we have to understand, this is our Heavenly Father's desire for our lives. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 15, please. Ooh. Romans chapter 15. There is hope, and that hope is found in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only for salvation, but to change our lives for good. We don't have to stay stuck in this world. We don't have to stay captive to these things. We don't have to stay hopeless when hope is in us. I tried to close with this scripture, but I got one more after this. But this is awesome. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I love this scripture. May the God of hope. He's not a God of dread. He's not a God of, oh, I can't stand you. He's not a God of, why in the world did I make Him? He's a God of hope. And what if when you got up in the morning, instead of looking at your phone and going to Facebook and finding all the crap that's going on in the world, you opened up the app on your Bible and you started talking and reading about the God of hope? Do you think that would change your outlook for the rest of the day? It would. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So we got to be believing. And I'm telling you, when you have hope, you can have joy and peace. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in peace, in hope. And, you know, that means that hope is overflowing in your life. You know, when you go to work, you should be the most hopeful person at your place. People ought to be able to recognize, man, there's something different about them. They got something that I don't have. And not only is it Jesus, but it's hope. And not hope that you're just getting out of there soon, but you have a hope that enables you to make it through whatever you're going through. And you become the best worker there is. All right, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, please. Hebrews chapter 6. What I love about God is not only does He redeem us, but He restores us. He makes us better than the way He found us. And I'm telling you, whatever you give up for Him, it will be nothing compared to what you get from Him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We have this hope. As believers, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. Firm and secure. Firm and secure means that you can stand on it. Means when you're standing on it, it's not going to fall apart. It's not going to fall one way or another. It's firm. It's not going anywhere. You can stand on it. Stand with me if you will, please. An anchor holds you. It keeps you in place. And that's what this hope is for us. It holds us close to God. Close to everything that we have need of and the power that He has for us. I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know your Heavenly Father, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and if you don't have the strength of the Holy Spirit, you can know Him right now. You can know Him right now. All you have to do is ask Him in. One of the greatest things you can do for your life is let Him be your everything. Starting right now. Not wanting to embarrass anybody, let's pray this prayer of faith. Father, I thank You for Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for my sins. And I receive that forgiveness right now in Jesus' name. And because I'm forgiven, and I'm believing in You, I receive all the power of the Holy Spirit into my life. The power of the Holy Spirit that not only raised Jesus from the grave, but seated Him at Your right hand. I receive it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want to encourage you. You are born again. And you got a great life ahead of you. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this day, the love that You have for us. Thank You for this time together. And Father, we thank You for Your word that brings hope. We thank You for the resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings us hope. And Father, may we be firm and secure in that hope in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, be blessed. If you need prayer for any reason, feel free to come up. We'll be delighted to pray with you.